Welcome to the Essential HR Podcast, where today I sit down with Ryan and Alexa Linsky from Linsky Capital, where we discuss how you can secure startup capital for your QSR franchise and fund your QSR dream. All right, welcome to the Essential HR Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gorman. I'm a sales and marketing professional with about 25 years in the HR finance space. And I'm here today with Ryan and Alexa Linsky from Linsky Capital. Welcome to the program. Great to have both of you. To get started for the audience, would love to maybe hear your story about Linsky Capital, how you started, and maybe just tell the company story a little bit about both of you.
Sure. Sounds great. Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited. So to give you some background on Linsky Capital, Ryan is my father. He formed the company a little over 5 years ago. Before that, he used to work for different mid-ticket conventional lenders, specializing in franchise financing. But of course, every lender is different in what they can offer. So he formed Linsky Capital so that we were able to help any franchisee with financing. Of course, as long as the opportunity was bankable, and that's regardless if they were a new or existing franchisee, what brand they were in, what the loan amount was. So we have relationships with over 50 franchise lenders across the country. That includes SBA, conventional, and some private equity backed groups as well. And how we work is we understand exactly what the franchisee's financing needs are now and for the future. And we place them with a lender that's best fit for their needs. And then, of course, on top of that, we are there to guide them throughout the entire financing process, and then negotiate everything for them on their behalf.
Yeah, thanks, Alexa. And just to add to that, Brian, and again, thank you so much for having us. We're glad to be a part of the podcast here today. As Alexa mentioned, she's the eldest of my three kids. She's senior vice president. She's full time with me, does really an amazing job helping me build this family business. And I just wanted to add that the other part of it is that we are a boutique family business. And I did form the company to be a one-stop shop for all of our clients, regardless of loan type, size, things like that. But also to form a family business. You know, anyone who's been in the industry, I've been in franchise financing for 27 years to be exact, and it's a roller coaster. I mean, I worked for so many banks, and it was just tiring over time, just constantly, you know, banks go out of business, or their pens down, or they get acquired, or mergers, you know, mergers, acquisitions. I said, you know what? I have enough contacts now. I'm going to take the jump. I'm going to do it myself, form my own business. And, you know, to be truthful, the first year I joke around, I was like in the fetal position, you know, it was scary. But once I got some momentum and really just kept leaning on my contacts, whether franchisors or, you know, existing clients, et cetera, getting Alexa on board. We have another great person on board with us, Lindy Baldwin, who's also an expert in franchise financing. And so really it was the idea of kind of building this family business and handing it off someday to my children, of which I have three.
Now that's amazing. I think it's probably pretty rewarding too, to be able to help people with their dreams. I think in a lot of ways, when I think about plus getting to work as a family is my wife was a part of a family business. So I kind of understand a little bit about what you guys do from a family perspective, but yeah, I think it's amazing to see people have the opportunity to chase their dreams and follow through on their dreams. And you get to be part of that too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And same, yeah. Same from, you know, us actually getting to work with the franchisees and, you know, they're chasing their dreams of opening businesses. And it's cool to be a part of that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, can you explain, I know you mentioned a little bit about it when you were doing your intro, but can you explain really the different types of lenders that you guys work with? I know there are multiple options when it comes to that, and maybe kind of explain what those are for the audience to kind of just give a rundown of what you guys do, what options are out there.
Sure. Yeah. I'll take this one, Lex.
Yeah.
So in short, you know, there's many different types of lenders, and it's based upon different types of deals, right? So it could be based upon how many units you have. Is your first unit, or do you have, you know, 100 units and you've been around for 25 years? It depends on loan amounts. It depends on your leverage. Like, it depends on a lot of different things. Brands, is it a tier one versus an emerging brands? So a lot of factors come into play. So really there's, I guess, four or five kind of different segments of lenders. So in no particular order. So one of them is SBA financing. SBA financing is typically reserved for first-time franchisees, smaller franchisees, people who want to put less money down, you know, maybe a little bit of a tougher deal, sometimes more of an emerging brand that some of the, you know, conventional lenders want to stay away from, even though it could be a very strong brand. And there are a lot of very strong emerging brands we work with. So there's SBA financing. In regards to pros and cons, SBA, they can get the deals done, typically less money down. You know, there's a lot of positives there. On the flip side, some of the, and again, we can get really deep into it, but high level, you know, they often want, depending on loan size, you know, they may want a second lien on your home or some other type of asset. It is a little bit more cumbersome with the paperwork, but again, it gets the deals done, and it's really a great alternative for kind of the newer franchisees, maybe smaller franchisees. The next one I would say would be application only lenders. It's the pro of that is it's really fast and easy. So we actually funded I think it was Freddie's, a deal recently. And someone called us and said, "Hey, I just want to borrow $500,000. I was going to pay cash for the unit. Just want to finance some FF&E. I'm looking for $500,000. Can you do that pretty easy?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I'll have it to you by the end of the week." And they said, "What? Mm. That you do that?" I said, "Well, we have application only lenders. You fill out the application and maybe some bank statements. They run the, you know, the CBRs, et cetera, provide bids and invoices, and boom, the money goes out." I would say the positive is obviously the fact that it's so fast and easy. And then I would say on the flip side, it is more of a higher rate environment for something like that, because it's, you know, it's something that they do so fast, and they don't really do the full financial review to see how healthy the company is. And so it's risk versus reward. So they want to get paid a little bit more on something like that. Next, I would say, would be the small ticket lenders. They could do deals from, let's say, 200,000 to usually 2 to 3 million. It's typically a full financial review. We can get into that later of what that would entail, but small ticket lenders are great for someone who, let's say, has three units. They want to build their fourth. They've been in business for a couple of years. Some of our small ticket lenders could do some tougher brands that the large ticket lenders wouldn't touch. Next one would be the conventional lenders, both mid and large ticket. Those deals are really anywhere from, let's just say, as low as a million to as high as, you know, 100 million, right? So mid ticket is probably, you know, the million to the, let's say, 30 million. Large ticket lenders are probably, you know, $10 million loan size to, again, 100 million. They may hold, let's say, 50 million themselves. Other than that, they're looking for syndicates and partners so they can kind of limit their exposure. The benefit of those types of lenders are they have really low rates, and they can really look about 2 years out on lines of credit. So they can say, "Hey, I want to refinance your debt. I want to give you a rate, let's say, in the sevens today, because rates have come down." They can say, "Hey, you know, we want to know what you want to do for the next 2 years. So in regards to remodels, new unit development, if you signed an SDA, whatever it may be, they'll not only refinance, but they'll also give you, you know, millions of dollars in a line of credit to kind of take a look at your current needs and your upcoming needs." I would say the downside of that type of lender is just that, it, you know, they do a full financial review. You know, these are bigger exposures, so they cross the T's, dot the I's. It's a little bit longer process, but it's the bulk of our business is mid and large ticket conventional lending. And it's a great product. So I would say last but certainly not least would be more aggressive banks, typically private equity backed banks, non-regulated lenders. So basically it's more access to capital versus rate of capital. So these lenders typically want, you know, at the bare minimum rates in the mid nines, often double digits, sometimes 12% plus, but they're willing to do things that other lenders wouldn't do. So they're willing to, as an example, go to higher leverage and just do tougher deals that maybe other lenders wouldn't do. So it's a great alternative for people that just want to put less money down, longer amortizations, you know, things like that. So that's kind of like the overall gamut of what's out there today.
Yeah. It sounds like there's so many options, and that it's, you guys, I'm sure, do an amazing job just of educating, you know, people what's out there, but it sounds like if someone wants to get into this space, they can. There's several options out there for them, it sounds like.
Yeah. And within all of the lenders that Ryan was describing, like the SBA and mm-hmm. the conventional ones, each of them are all different from each other, even if they're kind of categorized as, you know, mid-ticket conventional lenders. Some of them are willing to lend to certain brands where others aren't. Some of them, they need the franchisee to have a certain amount of units and a certain amount of time in business, whereas it varies from another lender. So really everyone is so unique, which is why it's beneficial when a franchisee works with us, because they have mm-hmm. so many options.
Oh, absolutely. I'll go ahead, Ryan. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was going to say that's a great point, that even within each segment, as Alex is saying, there's so many different kinds of lenders within that one segment, like what type of rates they have, what type of prepayment, what type of covenants and things like that. So that's a great point. Mm.
So maybe to continue on, how does really Linsky Capital Broker, the broker model, benefit franchisees compared to going really directly to a single lender? Like how does that work out?
Yeah, do you want me to take this one or?
Sure.
So I think the best way to describe it is imagine, so a lot of these brands have like their national conventions every year, right?
Yep, sure.
And at these conventions, especially like the topper tier brands, there's lots of lenders out there. So imagine you're a franchisee, you walk into this room and there's just so many lenders in booths and you don't know who does what. And of course, everyone is telling you that they're great, you know, and a lot of them are, but they're all gonna say, oh yeah, I can do this, I can do that, or my rate might be this. I mean, they're always gonna kind of, you know, tell you what they do. And then some of them are very accurate what they do. And then sometimes, you know, we know the lenders that sometimes are, I wouldn't say they're misleading, but maybe they're not as, accurate on their assessment of what they ultimately get done, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's out of their hands, depending on the credit department. So the way that, one of our analogies, and we have a few, is that imagine at this convention, my team and I are sitting there, you know, Linsky Capital's at the entrance, and a franchisee is about to walk in, and they say, they walk up and we say, hey, you know, how you doing? How many stores do you have? How big is your loan amount? You know, all these qualifying questions that we do on a call on our initial consultations, which are free, by the way. So we'll ask all these questions. And then we say, okay, Brian, we think the best fit for you would be booth number 17, that lender. And then mm-hmm. the next franchise comes in very different. You know, they have 40 more units than the previous guy, much more experience, much more liquidity, et cetera. Okay, you're booth number 23. So I think that's the idea. I mean, even when franchisors and brands have these preferred lender lists, they it's great, don't get me wrong, but what they often do is they just hand the franchisee the lender list, like, hey, here's five lenders. And then these franchisees that are experts in running units, but not experts in franchise financing, have to go on their own for one of their biggest business decisions, which is securing mm-hmm. financing, right? And they have to go call these lenders themselves. And then, you know, a lot of franchisees are programmed, you know, it's kind of like a running joke. What's your favorite question? What's your rate? What's your rate? You know, that what's your rate?
Yeah,
there's
sure.
so many things more than rate. I mean, rate is important, but it's there's so many more things on a proposal and a commitment letter that we review and negotiate and know what's competitive. So point being is that a lot of franchisors have seen the advantage of just saying, hey, call Linsky Capital. We do have a preferred lender list, but call Linsky Capital because they will work with those five lenders on the lender list, preferred lender list, but many, many more lenders that maybe aren't on the list that'll give you a better deal. So that's kind of what we are. We're a one-stop shop and expert advisors, where the franchisees focus on their business and we focus on their financing. So
awesome.
And just
go ahead, Alexa. Yeah.
Just to add another point, I think another really good thing that we offer is, depending on the situation, let's say someone is looking to build two new units and they're seeking financing. There's one type of lender for that, or there's another lender that could potentially refinance the franchisee's existing debt and then add a line of credit for multiple units. So what we can also do is kind of provide them proposals for those two options and go through them, you know, what we think is best, but also what they think is best as well.
Awesome. Very cool. So maybe can you share a success story as you're talking? I'm like, can you maybe share like something you have that happened recently that you thought was, hey, this is an incredible story that someone just looking to get into the business came to you guys and I was able to find something that fit their needs and their wants and desires?
Yeah, I'm going to take this one, and Alexa is going to take some of these other topics again. and she's raising really great add-ons, by the way, which is great. So everyone likes to talk about the big deals they do, right? So when you go to a convention as a lender there, they list, oh, we work with this franchisee. I can tell you that we work with some of the largest Inspire franchisees, some of the largest RBI franchisees. We work with some very, very well-known, I'm talking like the second or third largest Popeyes franchisee is a client of ours, the largest Tim Hortons franchisee. We do a lot of big Dunkin' transactions. Again, we're really heavy into Domino's, Jersey Mike's, et cetera. But what I want to do is, instead of talking about the really big people, I want to talk about the small guys. I'm going to do something different here. Because we're not only here to help, we're a small company, right? And we're boutique. We're not a huge company. We value the idea of the small guy as much as we value the big guy, okay? Of course, the big commissions pay more bills, but we had a situation where there was a one-unit Domino's franchisee, and we got a call from Domino Corporate and said, this gentleman needed help with financing. He's having issues finding financing for unit number two. Okay. So we said, oh boy, this, you know, might be a tough one, but if anyone could do it, Linsky Capital is going to pull it off. So we gave him a call. And at first it was like, okay, he doesn't have much money in the bank. You know, the other unit hadn't been open that long, but it was trending well. And, you know, it kind of started out where I think most lenders would say, you know, don't think I could help you. You know, most loan advisors, you know, I'm going to pass, too small of a deal, you know, too difficult, forget it. It's not worth our time. Alex and I were on a mission to get that deal done. So what I did was I really wanted to understand his story in depth. So what I learned was that this guy had, as with Domino's franchisees, right? So Domino's has a great system where to be a franchisee, you need to grow up in the system, which I love. No outsiders are coming in. Everything is, you know, born within and grown within. So he had all this experience within Domino's. I mean, the guy breathed Domino's. Mm-hmm. He used to drive for Domino's in college. I mean, he was all about it. And that experience and that created a lot of value. I mean, he knew everything about the brand. Okay, that's number one. It wasn't like an investor coming in, he's doing IT and he's buying a unit 20 states away. So that was number one that we learned. The second thing that we learned is that while his liquidity was on the low side, he did have some cash on his business balance sheet, not just his personal financial statement. But then on top of that, he already put some deposits being optimistic about getting the financing. So he had given some deposits, some down payments. So therefore, we could track some of where his liquidity was already spent that he could get reimbursed on. So that was important. So it was a lot of things like that. I mean, I can go on, but I said to him, listen, I'm gonna work day and night. The guy was calling me on the weekends. I mean, this was everything to him. It was unit number two. So long story short, we also, being so well-known in the industry and having so many allies, I called one of my small ticket lenders and said, listen, you got to get this one done. You know, you got to believe me. You got to fight for it. Oh, this sounds tough. No. You got to get it done. These are the reasons why. I'll speak to your credit department if I need to. Lo and behold, after back and forth, all these conference calls, boom, we got it done. And the guy he just keeps thanking us and he tells everyone about us. And anyway, you know, we can talk about the $40 million deals, $50 million, $30 million, largest franchisees in the country. And we love those guys. But I also, it makes us really proud to be able to help someone like that. So
that's awesome. That's a great, that's a fantastic, fantastic story. Yeah, it kind of gives you goosebumps when you hear stories like that. And yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Well, maybe to kind of to wrap up our business questions, business related questions here, like, you know, for someone to open their first franchise, you know, what advice would you give them? And maybe someone who's starting doesn't have a location yet. Maybe this is an idea they've had. They're just like, sorry, hey, I'm going to execute on this now. What does that look like?
Sure. So for someone that's starting to open their first franchise, we always recommend start the process of financing as early as possible. And the reason is because you would rather have the access to the money waiting for you versus you waiting for the money. So a lot of times, once someone has officially been approved to be a franchisee, they don't even necessarily need to have a location assigned yet. But at that point would be the time to call Inski Capital and start talking over what financing option is going to be best fit for them. Almost always it's going to be an SBA lender, but like we talked about earlier, there are many different SBA lenders out there depending on their brand and the loan amount. So that's first off, and we kind of understand their story a little bit more when we speak to them and again, decide what might be a good fit, maybe even make an introduction, to the lender to be proactive. Another Sure. really good thing is being prepared. Pretty much every SBA lender needs the exact same items in order to start looking at the opportunity. So that's last 3 years personal tax returns. A resume is very important for a lender to understand what their history is, hopefully in that same space that they're now becoming an owner in. A personal financial statement, which really kind of includes their cash that they have on hand, any homes that they own, any cars that they own. Am I forgetting anything? A business plan.
Doing a great job.
A business plan is important as well. Kind of sure. showing a breakdown of costs and projections, who's going to be running the unit. So really just being very prepared very early on, I think is very important for first time franchise owner.
That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you forget about all that's involved in getting, you know, just getting to the, you know, up to bat, right? I think just getting to be able to get an audience with someone is a lot to get together, but I think that you guys have a great process in place for that. So that's awesome. So maybe we're going to transition a little bit to the fun questions. Not that these were fun, you know, to begin with, but I do have a few fun questions to wrap us up. So this could be for both of you, but if you could trade jobs with anyone in the company for a day, you know, what role would it be? Be interesting to kind of see your answer here being a family business, but what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. I would definitely switch jobs with my dad. we're a small company, so there's not many options, but I think it'd be interesting, you know, I do see a lot from him working. Our offices are right next to each other, but you know, really more so the ins and outs of the business. And then also I've only worked for Linsky Capital and he's come from different lenders as well. So I think kind of sure. having that perspective of working at a bank and now starting your own company would be kind of cool and maybe give a different perspective as well.
So Lexa's the eldest of my three children, and I have another daughter, Brinley, who's in college, and then a son, Kobe, who's in college. So Alexa is a very, very big help to me, full-time, hands-on. So the other two are behind the scenes, right? So they're not really even on the website, I don't believe, but you know, they do things like they DM on LinkedIn, they enter things into the database and stuff like that. So sure. I would like them, you know, they're sitting there in college. You know, I pay them like $20 an hour cash and some commissions. They're eating burritos in bed, you know, probably drinking a beer in college on their bed. So I would like to be them. No stress, just, you know, get some money. So
sounds amazing. Oh, very
they
cool.
They have a good.
Yeah. So maybe if you could add maybe one unconventional benefit to the what the company is offering now, what would that be? What would that benefit be?
You want to go for that one?
Yeah. I mean, we went over the benefits that we have now, and we think that there's many, many. And that's why we have so much momentum. But I would say the ones that we're entertaining maybe would be one is that we're thinking, we've had some talks to some private equity groups, and we're talking when we have, it's hard to find time, right? But I'm thinking about putting together like a pitch for Linsky Capital Fund. Whereas basically, you know, maybe a private office, a family office, some New York based companies are going to say, hey, you know, here's 50 million, 100 million to lend out. You know, of course, they'll have someone review the deals that we recommend before we do it. But, you know, kind of have our own fund where we can be more like, hey, you guys need to sign off on this and get, you know, $1 million out the deal here, whether it's a first lien position or mezz or whatever it may be. So we're working on that. And then at some point, you know, we also see these opportunities that are really good ones, but there might be a stumbling block or hurdle at some point where maybe they're a little short on cash or whatever. But if we believe in the opportunity and we're experts in analyzing these opportunities, you know, we've talked about maybe eventually, maybe when the other kids are out of college, putting some of our own equity into these deals as well. So,
Okay. Amazing. That's fantastic. So it's kind of a fun one, but if the company were to hold a talent show, what hidden talent would you showcase?
He's more talented than me.
I would do some type of singing, probably karaoke. When I was growing up, my family always told me I was a good singer, and I used to I used to do like those musical theater shows. I was actually Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz.
Awesome.
When I was younger. But yeah, probably that.
Very cool.
When Alexa was really little, we had this thing. We'd be, you know, the five of us at the time would be in the minivan. And then Alexa was very good singing that Annie song, Tomorrow. And she was so little. And so we'd turn off the radio and we'd be like, Lex, sing it. And all of a sudden she'd, you know, clear her throat and she held the two like really long and like crystal clear. We were like, holy shit, we can make some good money off of this, you know?
That's
awesome. Very, very, very good singer, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So maybe what book or it could be business related, it could be a different book, kind of book or podcast that you're listening to that you would recommend really to the audience.
You want to answer yours?
Sure. I'll go first and then you go. I really like David Goggins. I've gotten into David Goggins. My favorite book that I've read, More Than One Occasionist, Can't Hurt Me. And the very quick summary of that is that he's known as like the mentally toughest man, like possibly in the world. And I learned a lot from him. You know, it's just about like personal growth, and it's about if something bothers you, you know, use that as instead of feeling sorry for yourself, like get your butt off the sofa, work harder at your job, go to the gym, do whatever you want. But if anything bothers you, you know, use that as fuel for some type of growth. It's about, you know, like callousing your mind and like being comfortable and being uncomfortable and pushing yourself and things like that. So I'm like a big David Goggins guy. I think he, really has taught me a lot. I'm really into him. So that's
very cool.
Stay
that's
hard,
great.
You know, stay hard.
He's awesome. Yeah. For
yeah.
Sure.
He's the man.
Yep.
What about you, Lex?
I like fiction books. Specifically like the psychological thrillers, mysteries. One I just read was called All the Dangerous Things, and that was very good. One of my favorite authors, definitely, if I had to recommend one, is Freda McFadden. She's a really, really good author.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And then maybe to kind of wrap us up, how would someone reach out if they want to learn more about Linsky Capital, connect with both of you? How would you recommend doing that?
Yeah. Definitely just give us a call or send us an email. We have our information on LinkedIn, on our Instagram, and our website, of course. And on our website, we actually have a little form. I think it's under the contact us section. And basically, you just type your name, your phone number, what you're looking for, and we'll reach out that day to you and learn more.
Yeah. And just to add, we have, it's linskycapital.com. And we have a lot of people give us good feedback on it. You know, we have some pictures to kind of get to know us, and we have educational videos like talking about different topics, like why people should refinance in a high rate environment, like all these different things. So we've gotten some good feedback on it. We're proud of it. And yeah, you can also just give us a buzz, Google our name, and we pop right up, Linsky Capital. And you know, Alexa, myself, Lindy Baldwin, we all pop up. We all work as a team. So
awesome. Fantastic. Well, Ryan, Alexa, it's been a pleasure. Certainly appreciate your time, getting to learn more about you and the business, and wishing you all both continued success. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so
us.
Much, Brian. This was great. We really appreciate your time today.
Yes. Thank you.
Good job, Alexa.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Essential HR Podcast. Join me next week where I sit down with Andrew Blyman, franchise and business attorney with Marks & Klein, where we discuss current legal trends in the quick service restaurant industry.